Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Assistant Secretary for Aging, Josefina Carbonell. Also joining us in our conversation is Brenda Kunkel.
Josefina, there are some points that we'd like to follow up from our last segment, starting with how is the Administration on Aging supporting a more effective long-term care approach?
What we're doing is really we're looking at key models and strategies that we've been investing in as a segue to the implementation of the new reauthorization when it comes through, is really focusing on strategies that will improve our efficiency but will allow us to transform from the current old system of care to a more integrated model. And particularly, we're focused on those areas where we know that states have been successful in transforming their own long-term care system and home and community-based care, Wisconsin being one of the first ones, Utah, Washington, et cetera, et cetera. So we've invested in four program areas under the discretionary area that have led us to the point that we are right now. One has been the investments in developing of the aging and disability resource centers, what we call the ADRCs, or for short, one-stop centers, in which we are creating a single coordinated system of access and information to long-term care supports for people, for general people in this country. Second is using, again, our best science that we have developed and best technology, and making sure that we implement the programs under an evidence-based science model, particularly in the area of prevention. So we're using our best science, which has already been proven, taking it off the shelves and putting it to test at the local level with people, and making sure simple tools for people can remain healthy and independent in their communities. The third area is, of course, the most important, is transforming from a siloed approach, service-oriented infrastructure, to more consumer-driven and consumer-directed care approach model. And then, of course, our own Your Own Future campaign, which is the whole ensuring that we provide the right tools for people to plan ahead for their future and their future long-term care needs.
Great. And let's return to that first element, which is the Aging and Disability Resource Centers. Can you tell our listeners more about them?
Well, the Aging and Disability Resource Center Initiative really represents a historic partnership, again, between the Administration on Aging and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, where it had never been done before, that funding was put together jointly under the systems change grants initiatives that occurred in the investment since 01 to the current period to really build the capacity to initiate systems change in access to long-term care. So what we're trying to is, again, looking at the fragmented system, the duplication, and the real difficult system of access to long-term care different agencies, and develop one-stop shop kind of programs, whether virtual one-stop, no wrong door kind of concept at the community level to assist people with disabilities of all ages to make informed decisions about the care supports that they might need. Again, also provide the information assistance to all individuals, regardless of income, and serve as a single point of entry to all publicly administered supports, including Medicaid, the Older Americans Act, and state revenue programs. Since 2003, we funded 43 ADRCs, Aging and Disability Resource Centers, the one-stops, and we have received grants. Currently, it's being expanded and extended, and it's exciting to see that many of the states are already taking these programs nationally. States have also implemented their own state statutes to integrate the long-term care systems to, again, reduce fragmentation, improve access, but most importantly, improve the efficiency of the programs and give people better choices to remain at home, including using their own resources. And we've really focused on performance and outcomes. And we define outcomes not only on financial side, but really define outcomes on a consumer perspective. So we want to make sure that we developed a whole array of tracking outcome information and sharing lessons learned across the centers. Again, as we see the fragmentation between the different models in each state, we want to make sure that we give grantees the ability to not not only set the guidelines at the federal level, but most importantly, to assist them in tracking those outcome data in areas such as program visibility, trust, effectiveness, and efficiency. And again, they must develop efficient ways of getting information to consumers, again, as well as for sharing information across state agencies. We know that in many states, we know that the programs, the different long-term care services or supports are funded through different agencies and through different regulations and guidelines, and it just makes it a maze for people and their caregivers to access those kinds of care. One-stop centers have really brought that together with CMS, brought one single point access into all publicly funded support systems, but it has allowed us to begin to develop the capacity and the infrastructure for taking on people in all income levels and assisting people to also plan ahead about their long-term care needs.
Josefina, on this topic of outcomes, we understand that you focused efforts on measuring program results, especially focusing on outcomes in your management of the administration on aging, including the development of new GIPRA plan. Can you tell our listeners about this plan?
Well, the most important thing is that, of course, a key element of the president's management agenda is the integration of performance measurements with the program budgeting. And at AOA, we know that our budget success really relies on the quality of our performance measures. And that was quite a surprise for folks looking at me coming from the private sector, saying, why would you be passionate? And one of the first things that I did when I got into office was to bring on someone with extensive experience in performance outcomes from the General Department, the Management and Budget area, to come into the immediate office of the Assistant Secretary, not only because I was passionate about performance, but most importantly, because we knew that how important performance was going to be to the success of our budget and our operation and our programs. We've streamlined our performance measures to focus really on three broad areas that are critical and resonate not only with OMB and Congress, but most importantly with us, and that's improving our program efficiency. To us, it means in increasing our return on investment, making sure that we have turned the agency around, increasing the number of people served per $1 million. So not necessarily getting more money to do more work is really getting better efficient programs, better outcomes out of the existing dollar amounts that we have. So again, increasing our efficiency. Efficiency to me also is defined in the way that we provide client outcomes. Not only are we serving a meal, are we keeping people healthier by serving that meal? Are we assisting people to remain at home independent versus institutionalization by providing home care supports that range not only from costlier home health care kinds of service, but that we have transportation, that we have other modes of non-intensive or non-medical supports that are very practical and very much needed by people to remain at home. And again, increasing our targets to vulnerable populations. If we are to prevent, institutionalization, we really need to serve those at highest risk. So we want to make sure that we are serving the right people. So those are the three areas where we've really focused our investments, really improving our efficiency factor by 15% from 2002 to 2004. We're paying attention to increasing our return on investment, and that it's really not only doing better with the dollars that we have, but providing quality services. So we're tracking outcome by measuring results, by consumer satisfaction, and also, most importantly, by assessing how effective are our services in keeping people in their homes and communities and assisting caregivers to care for their loved ones longer. So those are the results that are very promising that are coming in, and we're very encouraged, and we continue to build upon them to improve. Of course, the targeting measures are really targeting in the sense of making sure that we're serving the right people and that we target those that are most vulnerable to nursing home placement and being able to assist them immediately rapidly by the personalized service and, again, by the partnerships that we develop in the community.
So in this arena, it really is as much a question of effectiveness as it is about with efficiency.
Absolutely. And we're particularly proud of our outreach to consumers. Again, one of the most important things we did as a management tool and as administration tool for the Administration on Aging was really focusing on who were our clients and who were we really trying to serve. Are we trying to just continue to build upon services infrastructures with actually no context of who our real customers are? And that's why consumers and providers that are really the ones that serve, you know, our customers, to making sure that the senior remains at home independent, we wanted to make sure that we were doing the right things, setting the kinds of standards and policies that would facilitate that transformation from a service siloed approach to a more consumer-based approach. So again, giving them the right tools, investing in areas where it would improve the efficiency of the programs, but it would also improve the quality of the care and the transformational care that needs to happen in long-term care.
We only have a minute, but this is such a critical topic along this theme of program success. We talk a great deal, and you've mentioned this around collaboration, and this is collaboration and partnerships between the agency, other governmental agencies, NGOs, or even the private sector. How do you see this this partnership evolving over the coming years?
Well, I think that almost virtually every significant initiative that the Administration on Aging has taken on has been based on partnerships. That tone was set early on in this administration, how we needed to look at how, you know, interdependent we were, but most importantly, how important it was for us. I mean, for me, coming from the community, it was clear that part of the fragmentation that we experience at the community level, whether it be on an individual basis, when an elderly or a family caregiver is trying to access those kinds of support or information, and the fragmentation, or a provider like I was, to be able to serve that whole individual and all their needs, was trying to see how we could collaborate better in not only the systems, but in the implementation and the direction that we gave at the federal policy level and guidelines. So again, collaboration is critical to our work. It's certainly our collaboration with CMS on the implementation of the prescription drug benefit, like we talked before, you know, has been able to be of critical importance to millions of people in that were educated and enrolled in the benefits as a result of the partnership. The partnership with CMS on the Aging and Disability Resource Center, the One Stop, has opened the door that will lead to the modernization of both the Older Americans Act and the Medicaid program, and how important, and we've begun to eliminate that fragmentation of access to long-term care at the national level because of our joint commitment. And that's translating down, channeling down to the local provider, and most importantly, to the consumers, which is where we're trying to impact the change.
Great. What does the future hold for the Administration on Aging? We will ask Assistant Secretary Josefina Carbonell to discuss this with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.